Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Bravo episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. It is the time of the week that we dive headfirst into our Bravo shows. Kate and I's podcast, Tender Loving Care, is available on all podcasting platforms and has a new episode each Wednesday. In that episode, we break down a show from the TLC and Discovery Plus network, past or present, and we deep dive the insanity of that content. On Tuesdays, we also have a 90 Day Fiancé show in which we cover the current airing series or iteration of 90 Day Fiancé. But on Friday in this episode, it is pure Bravo. Housewives, housewives, more housewives. Without further ado, let's get into it because there's so much to talk about. Hi, Kate.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Kate, we just said there, as we were rushing in to start this, the amount we have to talk about. You just informed me that they dropped 3 episodes of Ultimate Girls Trip Roni Legacy today.
Yes, I wanted to, you know, be in the know and catch up on it so we could talk about it for this episode. And I go to the website and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have time to watch all 3 of these. So I'm one episode in, it's already so entertaining.
I can't believe I knew it was coming out today. I was so excited to put something. I think I put something on the Instagram about it. I didn't know they were dropping 3. I feel as though it is something that we've looked forward to for so long because it's Roni. It is Roni, as you guys know, is my number one franchise. Always has been, always will be. And we have the gals. We have Monster Ramona. We have Lou. We have Sonia. We have Monster Dorinda. We have Kristen, who, by the way, I have argued in many comment sections about how on Instagram, about how people don't understand how good and relevant Kristen was. She wasn't a Cindy Barshop or someone that was in for one season and forgotten about. Kristen went up against Ramona, got a glass thrown in her face when they went to the Berkshires. She had so much content. She fought with her husband, showed a lot about her husband on that. Like, Kristen was brilliant. And I'm so glad they brought her back.
I agree. I hadn't really thought about it much before, but I know you've been saying that. And then watching it, I was like, yes, she is actually the perfect, sweet kind of voice of reason foil to your Ramonas and your Dorindas, because they go at it and she's kind of the one who's like, what? I didn't mean to offend you. And then the other ones are just going nuts on her and she doesn't know what to do or say.
They always targeted Kristen because yeah. she's drop dead gorgeous. And women of that type will always go after the gorgeous one because she's not a Looney Tunes like Kelly Calora Ben Simone, who is also on it and on an island. but she's nice and she stands up for herself and she is going to go head to head with Dorinda. And I cannot wait. I'm telling you, Kristen is going to be the breakout and everyone will eat their words because Kristen is going to be fighting with Dorinda. She's going to be touching on fighting with Ramona again. And she's going to be in with Kelly Calora and Ben Simone. And I cannot wait. And also I didn't realize they're in St. Bart's and at the pirate house again. They are the exact same house.
Polly, it is the same exact chef. It's like the same staff. The staff is trolling them. They're making fun of Ramona. It is so funny.
That is Take a Xanax. It's Aviva Drescher. It's her calling them white trash. It's Carol meeting Russ, her boyfriend. There was so much. It was the pirate. It was Luann getting caught on a hot mic. She was the original hot mic talking about the pirate. It is legendary.
And there's so much reminiscing. There's so many flashbacks. Right
That's
away.
That's what I love.
It's very meta. Like they break the fourth wall constantly, talking about the show, talking about Andy Cohen. I was put on pause. You were fired. Like, it goes there. I don't need to be on this show. Like talking about Girls Trip while they're on Girls Trip. I don't even need this show. You need the show. And it is so funny.
It is like the best Christmas present I could ever get. I mean, it is perfect timing for this to come out. It is all my gals. It's all our gals. And I hope that Dorinda is necking that vodka because if she's not wasted on this, I'm going to be really upset. And I want Ramona to be throwing her shoes at someone that works there, put them up on a shelf. That's the type of behavior I want from Ramona.
Well, and I'm happy to report, you know who is now drinking on occasion again?
No!
Orders a bottle, splits a bottle of wine with someone at dinner. And she's like, yeah, I'm just drinking on occasion. And if there was ever an occasion, it's Ultimate Girls Trip. And I'm like, yeah.
I am. That's the best Christmas present. Scratch what I just said. The best Christmas present for me is Countess Luann de Lesseps drinking again. That's what I have advocated for a long time.
She's like, I'm in a good place, so I'm going to start drinking again.
I'm so happy. Oh, God. Okay, well, we will get into that. But the other thing I just want to talk, because there's been quite a bit of Bravo news, Kate.
Okay.
I want to get your opinion on this week. We got the VPR trailer. Have you seen it? No.
Should I pause and watch it? No. I feel bad. I meant to watch it.
That's genuinely how much I would say no. Now, I know that I'm coming in this with an attitude because I've already said I'm sick of hearing about Ariana. I'm sick of hearing about Tom. I'm sick of hearing about Vanderpump in general, right?
Yeah.
Vanderpump Rules. The series is coming out, I believe, January or beginning of February. I already know what's going to happen in the sense that it's going to be the editors are going to work overtime because that they're going to make Lala and everyone sick and tired of Ariana getting all the success and jealousy. And the women, Lala is speaking to Tom Sandoval. Sheena's talking to Tom Sandoval. And so it's going to be a lot of that. Ariana looking like the bitter woman that can't get over it. Mm-hmm. And the audience is going to turn on Ariana at the end of it and be like, you know what? This was all stupid. It was bad, but let's just all forgive. That's the entire plot of this season. And I don't have time to watch 15 episodes of that. I'm not interested anymore. And it's going to see Ariana instill a ton of pain. And she's still living with him. And then friends are going to go and start hanging out with him. And she's going to be fighting with them. And the trailer is incredibly boring as well. Incredibly boring. It was, the biggest thing was Schwartz revealing that he made out with Sheena in Vegas.
Okay, yeah, I keep seeing that. And I'm like, that is probably misleading because,
absolutely.
Sheena said something about it online, right? Yeah.
She did. It was something probably like after she broke up with the Shay or whatever his name was, Tim Shay, I don't know what his name was. Whenever she broke up with him, it was probably then when she was single and she made out with, you know, it was all silly. Like, it's not going to be anything. Then we see that this week, Sheena is on a podcast crying, saying nobody understands how hard it is for me. When Ariana doesn't understand how hard it was for me when the scandal broke. So that's a polarizing statement. Then we have Lala in the trailer saying, you know, I don't know when you become a god, you become a god just because you were cheated on. And then this week she posts a photo of herself completely nude from behind with the caption, of Crystal Minkoff from Real Housewives of Beverly, Sutton of Beverly Hills, saying, jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants. And it's because she's being accused of being so jealous of Ariana. And then I had forgotten this complete aspect to it that I don't think people are taking into account, especially with Lala. She was cheated on horrendously with that pig of a partner of hers that she was engaged to and had a child with. Mm-hmm. He cheated on her. That was a massive cheating scandal. And I imagine that she's like, listen, I went through the same thing as you. I didn't get what you got. And I think everyone's getting very pissed off with all of Ariana's success. And that's going to be the plot of the entire season. So I'm not even bothered about it, Kate.
Well, I guess Lala needs a better team.
Yeah.
I mean...
But she also made so much money. That Send It to Daryl. She made so much money off of all of this scandal.
I don't hate the player, hate the game. I mean, I think Ariana was just making the most of it, the moment, like just like any of them would, you know?
Any of them would. I just think in a dynamic like that, they are all egotistical, every single one of them. And when one gets more fame than the other, like Ariana has, it doesn't bode well for the friendships. And I think that's what we're going to see. Okay, well, look, we need to get into Salt Lake. We need to get into BH. But before that, I want to just regale you and the listeners with something that happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
So it was xenophobia mixed with anger and road rage. Right. So this is what happened, guys. I am leaving my house and there's around the corners, there's one big main road. And I was turning left onto the big main road and it was super busy and there isn't a light, right? So there's cars parked outside. So it's a dangerous left turn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was waiting. There was no break in the traffic, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, here behind me, come on, or something. And I look in the rearview mirror. There's a woman that I would say was probably mid-40s with a teenage girl next to her in the car, in this SUV type car, screaming at me to go. Hands up, go, just go, right? So guess what, Kate? Holly was not in the mood that day. So I put my car in park and I opened my door and I got out of my car and I stood and I said, is there something wrong? And she goes, no, but you gonna go, like, at a 10, are you gonna go? This is the middle of the day. Are you gonna go? And I said, so then I realized with people that are like that, the best thing to irritate them and to do is to not swear and to just speak very calmly, right? So I said, this was like 10 plus. I go, why are you speaking this way with a child in your car? She goes to me, which is nothing to say. I wasn't swearing or anything. And she said to me, she's not a child, asshole. What? And I said, so then I was like, all right, bitch, let's play. I go, your behavior is very embarrassing. I literally took the housewives route. I was like, you want me to humiliate you and make you embarrassed, make you feel like an idiot? I don't need to swear because I can use my intellect and Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of New York manipulation to make you feel terrible. I said, you know what? your behavior is very embarrassing. I said, look at yourself. This is really embarrassing. She's manic in this car, manic. And she's going to me, this is best. Then she's like, you know what? Get on with it. Move. Welcome to America, bitch. I burst out laughing. She looked like she was about to lose her entire... 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all it was is that she was just waiting behind me in the car. So I burst out laughing, and I said, this is very embarrassing for you. And I just said, and she was just screaming at me, I said, this is very embarrassing for you. And I got in my car, and I started just waving to her in my rearview mirror. I mean, I was it. Yes, was I bringing it on? Absolutely. But this bitch needs to be taught a lesson. Fucking maniac. Loser, insane bitch. But you know what? I didn't swear at her. I just told her how embarrassing she was, and she lost her mind.
You got all Heather Dubrow on her.
That's what you have to, you've got to do it.
Yeah. So,
welcome to America. I said, I was like, that says everything. That just says everything.
Oh no, you know what it reminds me of? It. You're so angry.
That would have been. I could. That would. I. That was that? Gonna. It was, of course, it was Rinna to Denise Richards. Ooh,
oh,
you're so angry.
Angry. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do next time. That's what I would have, if I was going to stand there more, I would have added that on. But she probably definitely had a handgun in her car. So I was like, I'm going to exit now.
Yeah. Woo. Anyway, LA guys, road rage is terrifying.
I don't engage in it. But this woman, you know what? She needed to be told how embarrassing she was. So I'm happy to facilitate that.
Someone's got to say it.
Someone's got to say it.
But now we said it.
And now we've said it. Guys, so that's that. Hey, which one should we start with? BH or Salt Lake?
I want to hear about BH.
Okay, let's go into BH. So we are on, we're on episode 8. And the theme music going into this was like post-apocalyptic. It's as though something had, something terrible had befallen all of Beverly Hills. It's like, and we go into Maurizio, as I will always call him, with a T, Maurizio, and Kyle. And this conversation, Kate. Kyle is desperately using the camera this season to highlight and just show how much she hates her husband, how much she's over her husband, I should say. She's over the marriage. She doesn't want anything to do with him. In this conversation, she's like, oh, have you got jet lag? He's like, yeah, a little bit. So how was the dinner last night? Oh, it was terrible, and told, you know, it went over about the ring and that you're cheating on me and this and that. And he's like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, that's really bad. And they have this conversation as though it's two people that have never had a relationship before. It was awful to watch. They are, they're so broken. They are so broken. And then her entire body is tense around him, and she gets up and he goes to kiss her. And she's like, don't do that. And he's like, I can kiss you whenever I want. And then it's like this zoom in music into an old photo of them kissing. And it's two strangers. I mean, I, as I've said before, I don't think we'll ever get the truth. I desperately want the truth. I want to know the timeline of when this broke down so, so badly, because neither of them want to be near each other. It's horrible to watch. It was horrible.
Imagine seeing that too as one of her girls, if you're watching the show. It's so sad. Oh, man.
It's just such a difference to last season. Like, what a difference a year can make. That's like, you could just never be complacent in life with anything, with your health, with relationships, with your mental health, nothing, because a year can change everything. And with them, they were in a, look at what they were like last year, kissing and hugging and everything. Now they can barely even look at each other.
They're just emotionally miles apart, even when they're in the same room. Ugh.
So let it be a warning to all of us. Appreciate everything you have now, because it can be gone like that.
Ooh.
Then we go to, I was gonna call her Little Legged Sutton, and that's not appropriate. However,
Slender Sutton.
Slender Sutton. We go to see Sutton getting ready for this store party. Now, I told you, I drove past the store maybe about a month ago. And as I say, it's in the most bizarre street in WeHo. It's such an offshoot. They have, it's like next to a very, very expensive salon. And it's right before you hit this Melrose like triangle. It's so strange. Anyway, I don't know who goes in there and buys a thing.
I mean, we already saw her store earlier this season, and I've already forgotten by now that she has a store. I feel like it's not real or something.
I know. It's she's getting ready, and I didn't even read the thing, but she's getting ready because she's like, I'm so proud of the store. It's been here for 4 years. I did it all myself. I did it. And then the producers in her interview is like, well, you did all this yourself, but you know, when you started it and to keep it afloat, did you use any of your spousal support money? And she's like, of course I did. I want to remind everyone, it's $300,000 a month. A month, Kate.
You can have any kind of pretend business with that money.
I just can't wrap my head around that being part of her income. Mm-mm. That's spousal support. That is not investments. That's not child support. That's not money from doing bullshit on Instagram and this show. What?
She can absolutely keep up with Kathy Hilton. Yeah.
Nuts. So anyway, yeah, so we see her getting ready for, I guess she's doing something additional to this store. I don't know. I was very uninterested in it, but it's her running around acting as though she has anything to do with that store. I mean, I'd love to know how often she's in it day to day. I really would.
Same. Yeah. It's probably just dropping by once or twice a week or something.
I'm sure.
Shifting around some flowers like Lisa Vanderpump.
No, Lisa Vanderpump worked though. That woman worked. Yeah, no, Sutton is just, she's so clueless, man. She's so clueless about life. Mm-hmm. Then we get a very, very dark and I think very eye-opening scene with Kyle and her therapist. Now, Kate, remind me, how much of this have you seen of BH? Have you seen all of this? Because I'm talking away and I don't know if you've seen all this.
No, I was busy with Ultimate Girls Trip.
Got it.
I'm caught up to this episode.
Oh, got it. Okay, perfect. Because I didn't know if I was just talking and you'd see, you had, so you haven't seen this?
Not this one, no.
Perfect. Okay. So then we see Kyle and her therapist and it's a very, very hard scene and a very, very eye-opening scene. Apparently, he's an English guy and has known her for a long time. I do think I saw life coach written underneath it. But anyway, so he sits down with Kyle and I love Kyle whenever she opens the door, all the dogs she has, because she has like my dream dogs, because she has, I love all animals, obviously, but my dream is to have a lot of garden space so I can have obviously my poms, mm-hmm. but also I love big German shepherds. I love a big fluffy German shepherd. I love big labs, retrievers, mm-hmm. and Kyle has poms and German shepherds and labs. Ugh. And retrievers. She has like the dream. Anyway, so she's getting all these dogs put away, and then River, who was looking very old, she's one of her dogs, he's a German shepherd, was looking quite old. I was looking at River, stayed in the room, and this man sat down and kind of went through stuff for Kyle, and he said, you know, so what's been going on these past couple of months is really affecting you. And I was thinking, are we going to get some Maurizio drama? She starts off by saying, you know, the space between me and Kathy has been really hard. So she starts getting very, very emotional about her and Kathy. And then we get flashbacks of her last time she spoke to Kathy and things like that. Then that makes sense. And she talks about her relationship with her family and how hard that's been and not seeing Paris and all of that. Paris's baby, and she just wants it all back to normal. She doesn't really talk about Maurizio at all, but she talks about something extremely important. And that was the death of her friend on the 1st of May of, I presume this would have been last, no, this year, would have been this year, wouldn't it? Because this is being released now. This was all filmed this year. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's May the 1st this year. So her friend Lorraine, she's, you know, she'd known her since she was in elementary school. They had been best friends. And then they did flashbacks of clips of her and Lorraine, that she'd appeared on BH a couple of times, and just photos all throughout their life, from Kyle as a child to a teenager to young girls to mothers to marriage. And Lorraine had taken her life on the 1st of May. And Kyle touched on the fact that she still doesn't understand why she did it. She said, you know, she was a person that I always thought had it all together. She was the person that was in my will to take care of my children if anything happened to me. She said, and all of my money, she was that person. She said, so it just obviously rocked her entire life. That was one of it. She said she was like my sister. And I think what it explains a lot is that when something so incredibly devastating like that happens, and especially a death that you do not have answers to, not that any death is easy, but a suicide and one that she didn't, you know, obviously there weren't details such as if there were notes or if the woman had a history of depression or something had happened or anything like that, which was private business. But it seemed to be that Kyle didn't know that Lorraine was probably suffering as much as she was, which happens the majority of the time with people that decide to end their life. And she said, I think that Kyle was so changed from that experience as anybody would be. And I think that began this massive turn in her life of what she mm-hmm. wanted, who she is, examining friendships, examining relationships. And so she speaks about her relationship, her friend a lot in this. Mm-hmm. And the therapist kind of talks her through it. But I thought that was a very, very important scene because it's given us an insight into what Kyle's been going through. The kids have all left. She lost her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband's never there because he's working so much. And I think she's become a different woman. She's become a completely different woman. And Maurizio has just not grown with her. And the type of support you would need after going through a tragedy like that is not temporary.
Right.
You know, it's not flying home and being home for a weekend, you know, mm-hmm. with her, because he's flying all over the world. She needed a lot of long-term care after losing her friend. And I think the insinuation is that Maurizio wasn't there, and she's had to deal with this and then not have her sister. So anyway, there was that scene. It was very, very hard, but it was an important one.
Hearing that this friend was like her sister and she lost her so tragically, so recently, and then losing the relationship with her Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
That just made me think of that scene with Sutton when they were fighting.
Exactly.
And she made that comment. I mean, that was really rough to say.
It was a horrible, you know, Sutton has had really, really low blows, some of which are funny, when she told Teddy Mellencamp that she was boring. And then there are ones that are just so disgusting, like what she said about Dorit. Well, sorry, I didn't get a gun held to my head. And then this, it's like, you are, she lives in a fantasy land, Sutton. And I don't think we realize how much she does. There's mm-hmm. so much wealth for so long, she's completely detached. So it was very hard, that comment. It's tough. Definitely. So we go on to something lighter, that Garcelle is going out with her son and his girlfriend. And we see them have this kind of jovial scene, and Garcelle says she really, really likes her son's girlfriend. But it was a lot. I mean, this kid is like 15, and he's, you know, Garcelle is saying, sometimes I want him to come watch a movie with me. And he's walking around because he's FaceTiming you, and you're asleep. And he's like, and the boy's like, yeah, but what if she wakes up? I have to what? I was like, give me a break, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And
teenagers.
And I mean, but that is like, I don't know. And then the girl's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You need to kind of have, you know, watch movies with your mum, pinky promise. And they went up to a salad bar or something. And he's like, I'll come with you. I need to come with you. I was like, these boys, get a grip. This girl was like just running circles around him. And he's just like, oh, obsessed with, I was like, I don't know. It's quite unnerving. I was like, that's not how men should be behaving with women and women shouldn't be behaving with men. It was, I don't know. I know they're kids, but I was like, ugh. I just, it made me think I would be, if I had teenagers, the fear of them getting pregnant or getting someone pregnant, I couldn't, I'd be so terrified. I'd be talking to them constantly about sex and giving them, putting them on the pill, giving them contraception just constantly, because you're an idiot. And you think you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life.
Right.
So you're constantly having sex. And they think if they have a baby, it'll be fine. I don't know. I went down this whole path. It was terrifying. And Garcelle was terrified too. It was, She's like, I cannot be a grandmother again. It cannot happen again. This is, because it's, they're idiots. They're idiots. Anyway. So then we have this scene, and I will be interested to hear what you think. So Anne-Marie has not been featured at all, apart from like the previous week at the dinner party, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's come on, and like I said, a lot of the trades were saying, Instagram was saying, that she was actually supposed to be a full-time cast member. She is trying very hard, and I don't know whether they realized she was not going to work and that's why they edited her down, or it was because of this controversy with her husband. I don't know, but we see the scene of her. It's a typical housewife scene. Oh, this house is just crazy in the morning. I have the kids wanting this, and I have my husband running around, and she gets up at 4:30 every day.
Oh, come on. What? Why?
To work out.
Oh,
work out.
Couldn't be me.
Be perfect. Just be perfect, because you have to be perfect. So she gets up at 4:30, and then she's got all these kids running around, and this weird scene, she's like making them breakfast. This is what I never understand. She's making breakfast of pancakes and syrup, which I couldn't think of anything more unhealthy to give someone for breakfast, but she's giving these kids that for breakfast. And the husband comes down and goes, I love frosted flakes, and that's what I want to have. And she's like, oh, you can't have that. The children can't have frosted flakes. You're giving them syrup covered carbs in the morning. I didn't get it at all. Anyway, so then it was all this, like, everything in moderation. And I was like, oh, she's a nightmare. But she was definitely putting it all, a lot of it on for the camera. Then she goes on, yeah, you know, we've been married 9 years. Then she says, and my husband told me, you know, he loves me so much, because he said to me once, I am an 8.5 in everything. I'm an 8.5 in looks. I'm an 8.5 in intelligence. And I'm an 8.5 in athleticism. I'm an 8.5 as a dresser. I'm an 8.5 in everything. And it's a solid 8.5, which is better than being a 10.
The husband said that to the wife about her?
About her. Uh-uh. It was such... Oh, she was extremely proud. She's like, yep. He said, I'm an 8.5 in everything. Oh, he may have given my body 9.5, actually. But the rest of me is a solid 8.5 in looks, 8.5 in intelligence. What?
Girlfriend, that's a put down from your husband. Your husband should say, you are a 10 in every category. You're my number one.
Or just be realistic and be like, you're right for now. I mean, that would be better for me, because I mean, that's more realistic really with most men. But it was just, it was a really odd thing to say, and said it so proudly. So we kind of see that, and I just don't think she fits at all. She really knows the formula. She's just trying too hard. Then we get Erica in her kitchen, FaceTiming her mum, letting her mum know that she has got a residency in Vegas and how excited she is. Then we get this horrifying, horrifying flashback to a couple of days beforehand, where she's signing the papers for the Vegas residency. And guess who's next to her?
Mikey?
Mikey Minden! Mikey Minden, with the eyebrows and the lips, is sat there as she's signing her papers. We need to get a warning on screen of like, warning, Mikey Minden's about to appear. He's always there. So no, she's telling the mother, and she's like, I'm so proud, I'm so happy, it's gonna be amazing, blah blah blah. Then we get more of them, they're all going to the Sutton store party. So then we get more of one of my favorite characters, really really excited about the addition of Arvy, Sutton's assistant. Now,
oh right,
I don't know what the little creature is. He's a fascinating, fascinating creature. And I liken him a lot, and I put a side by side. And Sonia Morgan actually commented this on our Instagram. So I put a side by side of Arvi, who reminded me so much of, if you go back into seasons past, of Sonia Morgan borrowing her brother-in-law, so her ex-husband, the Morgan's brother's butler. And he was this butler called Patrick Henry that would pop in a couple of episodes. We saw him in a couple of episodes, and he was a bitchy, bitter little butler. And Bethany, I remember it was a Bethany season. It was the beginning of the season. It was the introduction of Tins. It was the introduction of Tinsley. And she's staying there, and they're having this garden party, and he's there. And Bethany says it quite rightly. You know, there's nothing like when Bethany hits it on the head, she hits it on the head. She was like, I just love a bitter, bitchy little butler. And she's like, I just want to take him home and like snark the fuck out with him. And that's what Patrick Henry, he was like. He's like, oh God, Luann, so gauche. You know, just so like, he was awful. And he's like, God, that Ramona's a horror show. Why did she ever let that beautiful man go? And Tinsley was like, because Mary cheated on her. And he was like, well, wouldn't you? I mean, he was awful. Patrick Henry was so, he had all these quips. And Arvi is exactly the same. When he had that matchmaker came the other week, he was like, oh God, here she comes. When she came to the door, like, he's the same. I put a side by side on our Instagram, and Sonia Morgan commented on it and said, oh, I miss him, RIP. Patrick Henry passed away.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's snarking up there in heaven, but yeah, he really reminds me of Arvi. So anyway, Arvi's running around being like, you need to do this, you need to do that, and Sutton goes, stop bossing me around. And he's like, he's a funny little thing.
Sutton needs that. She needs someone humbling her and grounding her.
Oh, he's a little one. Then we get everyone getting ready, and Kyle is on FaceTime with, as Danny Pellegrino says, the honky-tonk lesbian. So Morgan is on FaceTime with her, and Kyle's like, oh, you know, I love, every time I'm with Morgan, she's just always like, you know, like razzing me and like always just making fun of me. And it's just, that's what's different between my other relationship, my other friendships, and my friendship with Morgan. And I felt like saying, no, I think there's a lot more that's different between you and Morgan. But yeah, so she's all going on. She's like, so sick to Morgan. Oh, you won't believe what they said, you know, about Maurizio. And she's like coyly kind of looking at the camera, and she's like, oh, stop. It's embarrassing, dude. It's embarrassing to watch this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Morgan's all like, she stopped me. She's just going, okay, no, no, no. Like, that's all I hear when Morgan speaks. She's got this really, really high-pitched voice that, and this southern drawl, and it's just kind of, that's what she sounds like to me all the time when she speaks.
Okay, I need to hear this.
She always gives me a little shock whenever she speaks. I'm like, oh, that's what you sound like. So anyway, those two are flirting up a storm, and then Kyle is going to the party with Kim. This is a second show episode in a row of Kim.
Yes, get that day rate, Kim.
Ooh, Kim drawing on the walls of her house with markers, Richards. So it was a dream to see her there in a car going there. And of course, all of this she would have always gone with Maurizio, but no more.
Right.
So they go there. And of course she's going there because Sutton said, you don't have any sisters. And now she's like going and seeing, I do have one sister. So they get to the party. The party is where it kind of all concludes, but they're at the party and Kyle goes up to Sutton and it is very awkward. But she's like, congratulations on having 4 years of your store. Kim is introduced to Sutton's friend, who's an artist. She's a painter. And Kim goes, oh, I'm an artist too, but I just draw on my walls with markers. It was good. They keep flashing back to the photos of the drawings she's done.
I need a Kim Richards original on my walls.
Oh, dream. So Kyle and Sutton kind of make up. They're like, well, she's like, I'm sorry. We need to stop all this. And Kyle's like, I didn't say you were a drunk. I just said that you probably had too many that night, whatever. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever. Then we have the more of the discussion about the rings with Garcelle. And she's like, look, you know, you keep mentioning these rings and how I changed my rings. And this is new. How do you know I didn't buy this myself? And how do you know I didn't do this? And it doesn't mean that I'm being cheated on. And blah, 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 blah. So they go round and round in a circle of that. Then Dorit and Crystal get into it because Dorit is told by Sutton. Here we go. Sutton goes to Dorit. I know that you're telling everyone I'm an alcoholic because Crystal told me you're saying that.
Oh, and there it is.
And Crystal goes, but of course in a much more roundabout way. And then Dorit goes up to Crystal and goes, what are you doing? You're telling everyone. And Crystal's confession was really funny. She's like, you just sit there and you just let Dorit go because I knew it was coming. So then you just have this, the editors are cutting Dorit as she goes round and round and round and going, but then I thought, but you know, you said to me and then Crystal's just like laughing about it. Well, she's like, it's fine. I didn't say it. Calm down. And then we get Sutton making a speech, which if you cast your minds back to Dorinda giving a speech at Lou and Tom D'Agostino's engagement party on the boat and how wasted she was, It is worse than that, but not wasted, unfortunately. She's just a terrible orator. And she stood there and she said this, she's got like reading off her phone, which I hate people do now. Or she may have written it down, actually. She may have, but it was like just reading it. Hello, everyone. So today, thank you for coming. I'm proud as a woman, but you know, women give each other labels. But tonight, these are the only labels I'm interested in. Pause. It was so bad. And everyone was like, what? She goes, yeah, I'm not a very good, you know, speaker. And Erica was like, just grin, just smile and grin. Anyway, it was a terrible speech. And she's like, all right, everyone, drink up. And then how it kind of ended was a fight between Sutton and this Anne Marie. See, she's getting her nose stuck in everything. So she sits down, they're all sat down at one point, and Anne Marie starts saying, so, okay, Anne Marie isn't a doctor. She works, I don't know the actual term. She's not an anesthesiologist,
but nurse she works, practitioner?
No, oh. I don't know exactly, but she deals with anesthesia in the operating, but she is not an anesthesiologist, which is a doctor. Anyway, so she's talking about how she's an expert on Crystal, on Sutton's esophagus issues. So she's like, so I heard that you're probably taking this medication, right? And Sutton goes, I am. And she goes, you can't drink on that. And she goes, well, my doctor says I can. She goes, no, you can't. And Sutton's like, well, I can and I do. You're not my doctor. What is this? And then Erica actually stands up for it in a way and says, I drink on plenty of things you shouldn't drink. Like, you should never drink on antidepressants, but most people drink on antidepressants. And you should never really drink on any prescription medication because it's so harsh for your liver and kidneys, but most people do.
Right.
And this Anne Marie is trying to get her 5 minutes. It was really annoying. And she's like, well, What I know is that if your esophagus is like that, that's not the cause. You know, it's more like a symptom of something else. And and everyone's just like, shut up. And Sutton didn't really take the bait. She took the bait for a little bit. She's like, what are you doing? You're not my doctor. You know nothing about me. Do you want to see my health insurance card? Do you want to see my photos of my esophagus? Like, what are you doing? So it was really stupid. And it just pointed out to me, we don't need Anne-Marie. We don't need her. She's not good.
I mean, when you're new, Penny's barking.
I know. Do you need to check out everyone? That was Penny Graham. Kate's dog. Do you need to check on her? See if Penny's okay? Maybe there's someone at the door. She's warning you.
She's hearing something outside. Penny, you okay?
See, guys, this is a little behind the scenes. When it's Penny Graham, Penny Graham's okay. Just protecting. As long as she's just okay and protecting.
Yeah, she just heard my neighbor or something.
Or she could be like, Pauline, hurry up with the story. But anyway, so that was kind of the end of it. Then what we get is a mid-season trailer. So we get the trailer for what's coming up. And honestly, it was not entertaining at all. They go to Spain. They stay in a haunted place. There's a dinner scene of Kyle saying, so would you ever date a woman? And then there's a scene of a confessional of Kyle saying, I honestly don't know if me and Maurizio are going to make it. And Erica in Vegas. And that's it. So this
season really is just Kyle and Mo falling out and...
But not showing it.
But not showing it.
That's the problem. Yeah. They're dancing around it and not showing it. I remember we were teased with a scene that she sits down with those daughters. I haven't seen that yet. And I didn't see that in the mid-season trailer. And sometimes they do that. They'll show you scenes that never transpire. But I don't know, Kate. There's not a lot going on. And I'm disappointed that this is the mid-season and they're not diving into stuff they need to dive into.
Yeah. Beverly Hills right now... I would agree. It's kind of in a middle place for me. And Salt Lake's beating it by far. Yeah.
Speaking of Salt Lake, I did watch this this episode, but I've only got notes for like half of it. But I watched it a couple of times, managed to watch it twice. But you lead us into it because this is Bermuda Birthday Blues. And this is episode 14. And by the way, apparently we only have two episodes left before the reunion. How upset. Yeah. Only two episodes. And also, it's Baby Gorgeous's birthday today. Happy birthday, Baby Gorge.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Woo!
Okay, so here we go. It's day two of the Bermuda trip. And they, mostly Heather, are decorating for Monica's birthday. So they're setting up balloons and streamers and things for Monica's birthday, Heather, Meredith, and Angie. And they're kind of downloading on the dinner the night before the shut the fuck up moment. And Meredith says she doesn't believe in speaking that way. And then, of course, the editors troll her by showing Meredith drunk in the early season with the husband and the...
The husband, the nasties, numerous. So good. So good.
And then Whitney comes out in the middle of their shit-talking, which I always love when someone walks in when they're talking about them. And she just comes straight out and apologizes to her cousin. And Heather's just
so
like...
Fake.
It was so fake. Don't ever say that to me again. And then they have a fake hug, which she calls out. And Heather's like, okay, I'll give you a real hug. And I'm like, good God, you guys do not mess with each other anymore. You guys
They really don't like each other. And can we just touch on before that, what the fuck was that gift that Whitney gave Monica? It looked like it cost $2 from the gift shop. What was that?
I don't know. I can't think of what it was.
She walked into Monica's room and was like, happy birthday. Here's a present. And she opens it up and it's this like see-through cheap gift shop tank top that said salty AF. And I was like, why did production just go and buy that and give that to her? It was so strange. The worst.
Oh, I remember the tank top and thinking it was ugly. So that's even worse.
Really
that
weird.
It was a gift.
Yeah.
So then Monica enters eventually, and she's feeling really special. They're like, you're queen for a day. They give her a sash and a tiara and scepter and a robe. And they're having this special breakfast. Baby Gorgeous is having her first Diet Coke of the day.
Oh, I love her.
And Monica gives a speech about how much it means to her that they're making such a big deal of her birthday. Monica's a very lonely woman. I think she's going through a lot while filming, emotionally. Yeah. And
it's been a lot that's come out about her this week. Yeah.
So, let's see. So then Monica's setting up this plan for the day, and basically the girls are going to do all this fun stuff, you know, jet skiing and things like that. And then eventually she's planning on going over to her extended family's house and meeting with them and visiting. She hasn't seen them in 30 years and she's really excited about it.
But we should also add that she reveals, when she's having this emotional thank you to everyone, that she went to therapy and that monster mother didn't even turn up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, they are also going to go to this dinner, we find out, and the theme is pirates, and Baby Gorgeous makes her intentions clear. She's like, well, as you know, I hate dressing up in costumes.
Yes.
But I will wear hoop earrings.
Amazing.
And Heather gets in a dig. Mm-hmm. You'll wear hoop earrings and go naked. Oh, Whitney's having such a good effect on you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Heather. So then Lisa put, I have so many notes about Lisa because she just pops off the screen to me. Ugh. She puts on a flashy Versace jumpsuit for the jet skiing and goes up to talk to Monica. And Monica requests that Lisa comes with her to go to her family's house because she's feeling a little bit nervous. You know, she hasn't seen them in so long, doesn't know them super duper well. And Lisa agrees and she's like, yeah, I'm really trying to give Monica a chance and get closer with her. So I'm going to go and meet her family and learn more about her. And then we get this main thing that happens that kind of sets all the drama of the episode into motion. Mm-hmm. We had last episode that scene at the very end with Monica and Meredith, mm-hmm. where it was the end of the night after the dinner, and they talked about this Greek mafia thing.
Right.
And so then Monica tells Lisa all about this. She's like, Meredith called me. She told me she believes Angie's in the Greek mafia. And then they cut to Angie on a floaty in the pool. And the Chiron said, like, Angie the Dawn.
Was so good. She was like, she couldn't get on this inflatable pink flamingo. It was brilliant.
The editing was so good this episode. And Lisa immediately is like, what? No, that's ridiculous. She doesn't buy it for a second because it is a ridiculous rumor.
Yes.
And then she tells her about the DMs, about the bankruptcy and all the financial stuff. And then Lisa just immediately knows it's Meredith. You know, she's like, Meredith is having you do her dirty work to ruin Angie because Meredith hates Angie.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. He really, really does. I mean, you know, you're watching them and Baby Gorgeous has tried with Meredith, but they're never going to get after the hot mic with Baby Gorge. They were never going to be friends again. They tried this season. They did the fake tanning together. They've had some scenes together, but it's not working. Just like Whitney and Heather. They're done.
No, that ship has sailed. So, okay. Monica's like, I'm being used as a pawn. And it's like, you're just now realizing this. And they head out to the Sprinter. Great. We're back in the Sprinter. Woo! Angie proposes a rap battle that no one wants to participate in. There's some sort of Mormon rap that I need to look up and find out about. And then Heather starts talking about her daughter living the life in LA, going to college. She has a convertible Florida. Down the PCH. Oh, it's Florida.
She's in Florida. Yeah.
Oh, whoops. in Florida, and she's got her mom's money. And Monica, kind of out of the blue, is like, is she having sex? And Heather's like, that's my daughter's business. I will not be bringing up on national television. So shut up.
This was the first time that I got the ick from Monica. Mm-hmm. She said this and thought it was really cute to say that and then add, well, that's what Kris Jenner does. And I go, yeah, I get what you're doing here with all of this. Because remember I told you, I pointed it out like at the beginning of the season. She has four daughters. One of them is called West and one of them is called Kendall. And I called out that she was like obsessed with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
I already thought she was. And I think she thought that this was going to be a platform that she was going to honestly be like the Kardashians. Four daughters, her mum, her grandmother, like this matriarch of the family. I think she's this fantasy of being like the Kardashians. And it's just one of those people you meet, they're obsessed with them. And that stupid comment about how dare you say to a mother, oh, you know, why aren't you telling us about your teenage daughter's sex life? Shut up. That's disgusting. It's
your daughter
disgusting.
Who was literally a child, like barely 18. Yeah, that's not.
And then in the confessional, she's like, well, you can't be a bad Mormon if you're not talking about sex. Like, what are you not connecting here, Monica? How do you not get this? It was annoying. Very annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they get to the jet skiing and it looked really fun. I don't have a ton of notes about this. I mean, they fed some fish bread. Mm-hmm. They go see a shipwreck. Yeah, it's fun in the sun. Mm-hmm. And then they get done with that, back to the Sprinter van, and they're chatting about how honey is really good for allergies, just chit-chatting. And Monica, all of a sudden, just leaps out of the van and is hysterically sobbing. And she runs and finds a bathroom, and Lisa goes after her because they're buddies now. So Monica's in the bathroom. She's sobbing. And Lisa's in there calming her down, getting her to breathe. And she eventually gets her to go back to the Sprinter van. And we find out that her family that she's supposed to go visit in mere hours has texted her and told her they no longer want to meet with her or have her come to their house. And she thinks her mom is behind it. Mm-hmm. She thinks her mom reached out to them and said, oh, you don't want to have her over.
Yeah. Which from what we heard earlier about the not going to therapy and just knowing what Monica's mother is completely makes sense. She did come out yesterday and say an Instagram post that was, she did think it was her mum. She has, her mum won't respond to any of her messages, but she has already discussed with her and left her messages that they're doing this all publicly, by the way, fighting on Instagram, her and her mother and Twitter. X and saying that she did believe it was her mother but has found out since it is not her mother.
So,
yeah, so maybe the family just didn't want to be filmed. You know, there's a lot that goes into it when you start signing releases and stuff like that.
I was wondering about that because, you know, production was probably over there mm-hmm. like preparing them and getting them mic'd up or something, and they were probably just like, actually no, this is too much. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just quickly, why does this honey turn your teeth blue? Before Monica ran out, they were like, do you want a honey stick? And they were like, no, I don't want my teeth to turn blue. And then then Whitney had one and it was completely blue. Just wanted to, if anyone knows the answer to that, please DM us at 10 to Love and Care Podcast on Instagram. So strange.
I don't know. So yeah, this was really sad though. She's feeling really alone. She's like, I don't have any family. It's like, no one wants me around. My in-laws, my mom, my own family. I just feel gross and unwanted. And the ladies do a pretty good job pepping her up by bringing up her four amazing daughters. And they're like, you always have family. Like, your daughters love you. You're not alone. And things like that. And so she calms down eventually and they go to the beach. And there's Heather has set up this really nice little picnic with beach chairs. And Baby Gorgeous suggests they play Marry, Fuck, Kill with, it's like husband's edition.
Yeah, husbands and ex-husbands. And by the way, they all made such a big, oh my God, look at what was on the beach. It was like five chairs and bags of Cheetos. It was so underwhelming. They were like, oh my God, you did such a good job. And it was Cheers and Cheetos. Very odd.
They were a little over the top with their compliments. I mean, it did look really nice. I don't know. I guess I was just hungry when I was watching it. But also, I'm like, she didn't do it. Someone else set it up. So.
Always.
And so this game was not that fun because all of them insisted on naming their own husbands, except for Monica and Heather. And of course, Monica is one of the first ones to answer. And she names two different husbands that she would have sex with. And then the rest of them kind of make her look bad by being like, well, I would only have sex with my own husband.
I know. And I love the baby gorge. She was like, I love having sex with John Barlow. I was like, oh, I love John Barlow. I find John Barlow very attractive.
Okay. I think he's cute. So then Lisa and Angie go on a little stroll by themselves along the water. And Lisa takes this moment to tell Angie the Greek mafia rumor and all the financial documents getting DM'd to Monica, and proposes her theory that Meredith absolutely sent the DMs from a fake Instagram account she created. And Angie accepts that as truth right away.
Sure.
Is livid, is so livid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Fair enough. Yep. So they're all out for Meredith. I just think we all know it is Meredith. It's just so silly that it was that obvious. I mean, did she not think? Honestly, it was probably all Brooks Marks. Let's be real. It was all Brooks Marks.
Yeah. I think I can just see her and Brooks in bed with like face masks on and they are drinking wine. And they have the Kardashians on or something stupid. And Brooks is just like, Mom, how fucking hilarious would it be if we did this? And Meredith's probably like, oh my gosh, that would be so great for the show. And they just do it together. Yeah, I can see that going down. And okay, so then we're back at the house. Heather calls her daughter to talk about this sex comment. And her daughter, of course, is like, that's weird. That makes me uncomfortable. And Whitney, you had said that you spotted her packing Bad Mormon, right? So she whips that out and she's like, actually, people don't know this about me, but I occasionally read books. She was very proud that she reads books.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Such a talent, being able to read a book. Woo!
So I wasn't sure if she was trying to be shady, but like, well, I'm actually going to go read Bad Mormon in the sun. I was like, is this what, I didn't know what she was trying to do with this.
It's gearing up for something she's going to reveal. And actually we already know because we've seen it next week. I told you that book was placed there for a reason. This scene was there for a reason. And I've just realized she says next week at the dinner, we've already seen it. She goes, you exploited my sexuality in your book. There we go. Done.
Oh, so she's hunting for ammo.
Tropes, yeah. When you know the tropes of housewives, you know what's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So then let's see. We have Angie going to Monica's room and she's like, okay, I know it's your birthday, but I have to talk to you about the fact that I know about this mafia rumor now. And Monica's terrified because she thinks she's going to be in big trouble, that she's spreading rumors again or something. But Angie's got enough hate for Meredith. She doesn't need to shine any of it on Monica. She's like, no, it's fine. I'm glad you're telling the truth, aka like you're giving me great ammo for Meredith and a storyline. And bless you. Thank you.
And to be fair, if it was my birthday, there's nothing more that I'd love than two people getting into a massive fight about rumors. Oh,
I know. That's what I thought was so funny about this. Like, I feel like Monica pulled the ladies aside and was like, listen, I know it's my birthday, but just let it rip. Cause I like, she did not care that all this was happening on her birthday at all. So let's see. Everyone's getting ready for the pirate birthday dinner. Monica FaceTimes her daughter Bree to talk about the drama with her family ghosting her. And she talks about how Bree is such an old soul and very chill and calm. And Bree does seem, it's that other housewives trope with like the mature oldest child and then the like very silly, you know, housewife mom.
Yeah.
And she talks to us about how much she always wanted a sibling, and being an only child was tough on her. And so she's glad that, you know, if nothing else, she gave her kids the gift of having each other. And yeah, she was feeling a lot on this, and that happens a lot on people's birthdays. I feel like you're just feeling a lot of things.
So I just wanted to interject here what came out about Monica this week before we go into the final scene.
Oh,
is that she spoke about this thing, right? Not being her mother. I'm seeing a lot more. There's going to be, apparently the reunion is everyone against Monica. Whatever happens in these next two episodes are going to be insane. There was a woman yesterday that released a video on Instagram. She's the ex best friend or very, very close friend of Monica, who recounts a story of, they hadn't been speaking, they got into an argument. Her phone goes very early in the morning and she picks it up. It was still dark outside. She picks it up and Monica is crying and saying, my daughter just got into a car accident. So the woman says, I dropped everything. I put on clothes. I got a phone as I was getting out the door to go to Monica's. I get a phone call back and saying, don't hate me, but I knew that was the only way I could get you to come over to my house. And she'd made it up.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think there is a lot darker stuff going on than we have any idea about Monica.
Okay. I had not heard that.
I'll find it and repost it. It was insane. Yeah, but go ahead with this last scene.
Whew. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, so they're getting ready. Most of them are really, really on theme. Mm-hmm. Baby Gorgeous looks gorgeous. I think she could have completed the look, I will say, with like a very fabulous silk scarf around her hair. Like, I think that would have been really cool. But she looks great. And Monica went into full Jack Sparrow drag, which was great, I thought. So, okay, they go to this dinner. It's really cool. It was this underground cave, and their table's right on the water, and Whitney is tottering around on these, like, 5-inch stilettos. She can't really walk. And then the dinner starts. Monica gives a toast. Thanks for coming, everyone. Anyways, since I felt sex shamed on the bus, I was like, she did not sex shame you on the bus. She told you she didn't want to talk about her young daughter's sexuality on TV.
I know.
And excuse me. And she's like, so since I felt sex shamed, when's the last time all of you had sex? And they're all just like, are we really doing this?
All of them made up this. It was so cringy to every single one of these women. First of all, it is really unfair. Whitney, okay, so they all go around, they're all married, and they all say the exact same thing. Just before I left. And then when it went, half these women are never sleeping with their husbands. When it went to Angie, that was painful. I was cringing. She goes, just before we left, just a quickie. Oh, it was so painful to watch.
Who's having actually the most frequent?
Meredith right now, I would say, with Seth. I would say Meredith with Seth are getting it on. I think Whitney is doing it sporadically and just kind of laying there at this point with him because she doesn't really like him anymore. Mm-hmm. I would say Baby Gorge, John Barlow. Whenever Baby Gorge can put down her phone and has a minute because she's so busy with Sundance.
Right, always.
Whatever time of year it is, she's always busy with Sundance. They're definitely getting it on as well. So, but that Angie is not having sex with that husband. And I don't think Whitney's having that much sex anymore with him either.
Yeah, Angie's actually, it's part of her storyline. I remember now she was like, I don't know, we're just not intimate because we have a 13-year-old kid or whatever.
Okay,
they all say the exact same thing. That's funny. I had the same thought. I'm like, I don't think someone's lying. And then Heather says she's not going to answer, she doesn't want to, and points out how unfair it is because they are all married and she's single and she doesn't want to air out her goings on like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Whitney, you see the hatred and anger she has towards, she jumps on anything Heather says. And she goes, how is that unfair? That's not unfair. Well, it is unfair. I mean, that's kind of black and white. Everyone can see that that's unfair. You all have partners that you can talk about having sex with. And if I was to tell you, it would be, well, who is it? Who are you dating? How do you know them? All of that. And it's on television and she's kids. So
right.
No, she's not going to say that. And Whitney's all like, no, it isn't unfair, Heather. Oh, I really wanted to punch Whitney in the face, which is really annoying.
And then this other fight starts up with Monica saying, well, you're not the only single one here. I'm also single. And Heather's like, you're married.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm divorced. I'm waiting on him to sign the papers. And how much more single could I get? I could go and fuck someone right now. And I'm like, oh God. And then Lisa's standing up for Heather. And then the fight ends with Heather saying to Monica on her birthday, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Like Whitney said to me last night.
I love it.
And then it's just silence. And then Angie takes her moment to go in on the mafia rumors to Meredith. And Meredith just denies.
And everyone at that table is like, Meredith, we know it's you. Like, this is what you did last year. And this is what you're doing now. No, I can't. She's like, I just can't believe what you guys are saying this. This is just all so ridiculous. Meredith, you're doing this. We all know you're doing this. I just can't believe how ridiculous this all is. And then just walks off.
If it was really a lie and she really didn't do it, she would be a lot more worked up. But she knows it's true, and she's just unnaturally calm about it. She's like, no, I didn't do that. No way. Guys, shut up.
It's brilliant work. It really is. So, and that's how it ended. And then we've two episodes left. So the massive bomb, I think, is going to be dropped. I think they're probably going to be in the last episode, except I think it's going to go on for a while. It all gets dropped and found out at a dinner, because we see in the preview, we see Heather in the day getting that phone call, then production just rushing into her room. But then we see at a dinner, Heather is saying to someone directly, you need to leave. You need to leave now. And we all think it's Monica, which I presume it would be, but something happens, and I'm gonna stick. We'll find out if my theory was right. We'll find out if it was right about them. I don't know how it hasn't come up. How has not one of them said to her, you put Jen in jail?
Right. And Jen came up though for the first time, right? Because Lisa's going off on Meredith. And she's saying, you do this to everyone. Stop doing this mean shit to us. You did it to Mary. You did it to Jen. You were saying Jen's going to get in trouble for XYZ. And then she got arrested. Like, you do this shit. Okay. And so I was like, okay, so finally Jen's name is mentioned. And then this could, now Jen's on people's mind. I'm like, okay, what is this?
I just think it is. But I feel it in my gut, but we don't know. We still don't know. But it is Heather that gets the call. And I cannot wait. So we have two episodes. These two episodes are going to be outstanding television. Once again, I call for them to be 2.5 hours long each, but please, we're not going to get it. I do just want to end this. We have to wrap this up. We've been talking for so long, but I just want to say that I was perusing the trades, page 6, and I just want to read this title that's Bravo related, okay, that came out. Ramona Singer, quote, wasn't invited to Roni Legacy premiere after racism scandal, dash, but showed up anyway.
That is the most Ramona shit to do.
It's brilliant work. Hey, I cannot wait to watch. I think I'm gonna have to put 3 episodes. I'm gonna have to put time aside this weekend, sit, get my favorite snacks, get a bottle of wine for Lou, and I am just going to binge all 3 and appreciate every single morsel. And then, you know what? Probably going to watch them again, but I'm going to do that. And I'm going to take notes on all of them.
Good. Yeah. You'll have to text me a little bit when you're watching it. I think you're going to like it. It's everything you want.
Can't believe we're back at the house. We are back at the house where it all happened. Those chairs that Sonia was like trying to hump, the wine dispenser, the chefs that they were flirting with, the table where they were screaming, "Better Xanax, calm down." I mean, it's everything we ever wanted. Yeah. All right, guys, we are going to go now. We are going to actually, this is coming out Friday. And if you're a Patreon member, you're also going to get our Patreon episode today where we are covering the documentary Escaping Twin Flames. It's about a cult, it's about cuckoos, and it's about love? Question mark. You know, you can always follow us and get in touch on Instagram at Tender Loving Care Podcast. Thank you for everyone that sends in their DMs and writes to us. We read them all. We respond to all of them. Thank you so much. Follow us there. You can email us at tenderlovingcarepod. We are waving right now and saying hello on our YouTube channel. Just search Tender Loving Care Podcast. Kate, anything else?
I don't know. I think you got everything. Thank you everyone for being here. We really appreciate you, and have a great weekend.
We will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.